Thanks for joining us today. We'd love to hear how God is using this ministry in your life. So we encourage you to share your story with us at info@fellowshipgj.com or by clicking the Share Your Story tab on the Church Center app. Also, if God is using this ministry to impact you, we want to encourage you to partner with us financially. You can do that by clicking on the giving link located in the description below this video or online at fellowshipgj.com. Or if you're a member here at Fellowship Church, you can give through our Church Center app. This will help us continue to bring the message of Christ to our community and beyond. Again, thank you for joining us and enjoy today's service.
You guys are too much. Knock it off. It's fine. Have you ever gotten a song stuck in your head that just plays on repeat without your permission? Like, it's just the worst. I remember when I was a kid, I would find myself at the Rainbow Roller Rink. Does anybody remember that? That's a name you haven't heard in a while, right? You know, it's, and for those of you who are, you know, younger than me, there was a, it was like an ice skating rink, but for rollerblades because we live in the desert and we didn't have an ice rink yet. But I would find myself there, you know, and it wasn't so much like the heyday of its time where it was like the shiny, fun 70s disco vibe Rainbow Roller Rink, but so much as like the late 90s grunge, goth, potentially dangerous and scary Rainbow Roller Rink. Yeah, you know what I'm talking about. And so I'd spent many Saturday there under the disco ball, doing the group dances like the cha-cha slide, the twist, you know, the limbo contest when my knees could handle that. But there was one group song they did in particular that would always get stuck in my head, and it was the Macarena. Yeah. Yeah, it still gets stuck in my head. And the particular issue with the Macarena is it's in Spanish, and I don't speak Spanish, so I can't get it out of my head. The only words I know of that song are, hey, Macarena, hi-ya, which is probably not even correct, but that's what I go with every single time, and it gets stuck in my head, and it's a particularly special kind of musical prison where you can't sing it out. You can't get it out of your head. So I find myself walking into work on a Monday morning like, hey, Macarena, good morning. Or, you know, then I'm grocery shopping. I'm like, hey, Macarena, that's a great deal. And put it in my cart, keep going. Or worst of all, I have to wake up in the middle of the night to go to the restroom. And then I'm like, hey, Macarena, crying baby. Because you can't scream, hey, Macarena, into the darkness of your household without consequences, you know. And I think all of us would laugh at the fact that we get songs stuck in our head. And we all would say, though, that we hate it, right? Getting a song stuck in your head is the worst. And that raises the question for me. Have you ever gotten a thought stuck in your head that you hated? One that replays over and over again that you can't get out, that is stuck in there, and it's frustrating. Experts tell us that we have 60,000 thoughts go through our mind every day. That is a staggering number, 60,000 thoughts. And I want you in your own head to take a guess of those thoughts. What percentage of those thoughts are repetitive, meaning we think them over and over again? So once you got your guess, is everybody there? It is 95%. 95% of our 60,000 daily thoughts are repetitive. And this means that we have a soundtrack that's stuck on repeat in our head every single day. And it would be awesome if that soundtrack, those repetitive thoughts, were all good, godly, uplifting, positive thoughts. But who are we kidding? We all know that that's not true, right? Well, statistically speaking, 75% of our repetitive thoughts are negative. So more often than not, we have a negative soundtrack on repeat playing in our mind every single day. And I have to be honest, this is something that I struggle with. You know, I have a negative soundtrack that plays in my mind all the time, and it's, I'm not enough. I'm not going to be good enough. I'm not going to be a good enough dad, a good enough husband, a good enough pastor, a good enough friend, that I'm not going to measure up. And it's something that I have to battle over and over because I'm a classic overthinker. My mind is like Forrest Gump. It just keeps running and running. And to be honest with you, it is like a box of chocolates up there. You never know what you're going to get. We never know what's going to come out of there. But it causes me trouble. It causes me to feel anxious. It causes me to be distracted. It causes me to make assumptions about people around me. My poor, lovely, sweet wife. If I'm in my thoughts, if I'm in my head, I can't hear a thing outside of me. I can't tell you the number of times where I've just been mulling something over, worrying about something, just really going after this thought. And then all of a sudden I hear, Sean, from across the room, and it snaps me back to reality. Because when your wife uses your given name and not your like name that they give you, like babe or sweetie, I'm like, what did I do and or didn't do, you know? Snaps me back to reality. But I do. I find myself a million miles away inside my head, usually beating myself up or worrying something. And I have to fight that. I have to battle my thoughts to stay peaceful and present. And maybe you have a soundtrack like mine, but maybe yours is one of shame. Like, I'm so messed up. I've messed up too bad. There's no way I can come back. Or maybe it's an anxious one. So this feeling of something bad is going to happen all the time. Maybe it's one of spiritual failure. God's mad at me because I've messed up so much. Could be I'm not skinny enough. I'm a disappointment. I'm a burden. I can't, or I'm stuck where I'm at. And the truth is, if we don't combat these negative thinking ways, these soundtracks, we will stay stuck right where we are. And so we have to rewrite the soundtracks of our mind. Pastor Craig Rochelle says it this way: your life is always moving in the direction of your strongest thoughts. And so when you think about your thought life, do you like the life you're thinking yourself into? When you think about what you're thinking about, do you like the life it's creating for you? Because our thoughts really do drive our lives. And so we have this flow chart here. Let's throw that up and we'll take a look at it. It's behind me. Our thoughts drive our beliefs. So when we think about something enough, when we think about it over and over again, we start to believe it whether it's true or not. So let's take example, I'm not enough. And the more we think that I'm not enough, we start to believe ourselves. And then we make that a belief of our life. And then that belief then drives our identity. So no longer do we just think that we're not enough, but we act and speak and think of ourselves as not enough and actually that way. And then those beliefs drive, or that identity drives our actions. And we start to live out like we are not enough. So our thoughts really do determine the course of our lives. And because we can't really have a positive life with a mind full of negativity, we can't live that abundant life Jesus promised us with a broken soundtrack in our minds. The life we have today is largely a reflection of the thoughts we've had in our mind for the last 10 years. And if you always focus on your problems, you're always going to feel overwhelmed. And if you always think about yourself like a victim, you're always going to live like a victim, and you'll attract people into your lives who treat you that way. And if all you think in your mind is that you can't, you probably won't. But if we can rewrite the soundtrack in our mind to say that I can, then we probably will. And if we can say, I'm not the victim here, I'm an overcomer, then we will overcome. We've got to rewrite the soundtrack of our minds. And so we're going to change the quality of our lives through the quality of our thoughts. Philippians 4:8 says this: and now, dear brothers and sisters, one final thing. Fix your thoughts on what is true and honorable and right and pure and lovely and admirable. Think about things that are excellent and worthy of praise. So to change the way that we think, we have to change the focus of our thinking. We have to change the quality of our thoughts. And you could be sitting here thinking, well, that sounds great, but I don't really have control over my thought life. My thoughts just kind of pop into my head willy-nilly. And let me tell you, I get that. I have some letters after my name that are not PhD, if you know what I'm saying. And so we have to change the way we think. I mean, but when we think that we have no control over our thought life, we've deceived ourselves. Because we see in other areas of our life that we have some level of control. We can be intentional. We can be deliberate with work. We can control how much effort we put into our job, the attitude we have when we go to work. With our with working out, you can be intentional and deliberate. With our diet, we can be intentional and deliberate. And if you've got any tips, let me know. Not because I need them, but I just want to know what you guys are up to. But somehow we think we have no control over our thought life, and that's a lie. Scripture's been telling us for thousands of years that our minds and our brains can change, and science is just now teaching us this. It turns out that you can teach an old dog new tricks, and it's because we have something called neuroplasticity, which simply means that we have the ability to change our thoughts and our minds. Romans 12 has some insight on this for us. It says, don't copy the behavior and customs of this world, but let God transform you into a new person by changing the way you think.
Then you will learn to know God's will for you, which is good and pleasing and perfect. We don't have to be a slave to the thoughts in our mind or the way the world teaches us to think. Negative thinking, giving up on trying to change things in our lives, accepting life as just dysfunctional. These are the ways of the world. But Paul is telling us right here in Romans 12, don't let the world dictate your way of life. Instead, let God transform the way you think and in turn transform you entirely. Friends, we live in the world, but we don't have to live like it. 2 Corinthians 10:3-4. For though we live in the world, we do not wage war as the world does. The weapons we fight with are not the weapons of the world. On the contrary, they have divine power to demolish strongholds. And the word power here in the Greek, it's dunamis. And dunamis means strong, mighty, explosive power. And it's the same root word that we get the English word dynamite from. So this is God saying he has the explosive power, the weapons to literally blow up those old thinking patterns, to blow up the mess in our minds. And he will demolish those strongholds. And a stronghold is a military term, and it's a building that's built up to be impenetrable during battle. And what our enemy Satan does is brick by brick, thought by thought, whisper by whisper, and lie by lie. He builds up a stronghold and a fortress in our minds to where we feel isolated and like we're in a prison. But what God says is that there is a divine power to blow up that fortress or that stronghold. There's a divine power that God will enable us to have inside of us to destroy these strongholds. 2 Corinthians 10:5 goes on. We demolish arguments and every pretension or thought or assumption that sets itself up against the knowledge of God. And we take captive every thought to make it obedient to Christ. And there's a way that we can take every single thought captive in our mind and make it obedient to Christ. And that's we align our thinking with what God says about us. Not with what the world says about us, not what we say about ourselves, and certainly not what the enemy tries to trick us into believing. But we align our thoughts with God's. So how do we demolish and remove these strongholds from our thoughts? Well, first, we have to define our most consistent and negative thought. What is that thought? What is that soundtrack? Because once we identify that, that's how we find the stronghold. The mind is so tricky. Again, we have 60,000 thoughts per day. So some of us might even not know what that definitive, consistent soundtrack is. Some of us may, but a lot of us have no idea. And we can't defeat what we won't define. And so we have to think about what we're thinking about. Some of us will never move past the strongholds in our mind because we don't take the time to define what it is. So we have to do what's called a thought audit, or as I like to call it, a thought it. That one's for free. You get to keep that one whether you want it or not. So we have to define what that is. And so maybe yours sounds like this. I'm broken. I'll never be good with money. I'm dumb. I don't test well. I'll always be alone. I'm unlovable. I ruin everything. I've been burned so many times that I can't trust anyone. I'm ugly. I'll never have a good job. I'm a loser. I'll always be anxious. I'm cursed. I'm a mess. I'm not good at making friends. I only ever date losers. I'm a disappointment. My spouse will never change. And the Broncos will never win the Super Bowl again, especially if we keep making boneheaded moves like trading Jerry Jeudy. And I get that that's debatable, but he had a lot of upside. I digress. I don't know what your negative thought is, but you do need a thought audit. We have to define the primary thing that sticks in our mind, the one that pops up more than the rest, because that's the stronghold. And the Bible has been telling us this for 2,000 years. But we now know things about the brain our grandparents' generation had no idea about. We now know that when you think a thought in your mind, it creates a neural pathway. And the more you think that thought, the easier it becomes to think that thought. And so it looks a lot like this, right? We have ourselves a thought, right? An A to B. We think this thought, and it's kind of just a little bit of a trail, right? It's not exactly super well-defined. You know, it's not well-traveled. But the more we think that thought, the more well-established and cut in that path becomes. And then it looks like this. So then it's like a path. It's a full-on trail, maybe even a dirt road. We travel it more and more often. And more we think that thought, the more established that pathway becomes. And then it looks like this. Then it's a two-lane road, right? Now it's paved. There's infrastructure. There's sidewalks and streetlights. People are building houses nearby because there's so much traffic that goes down this path. And then eventually, the more and more we travel this road, it becomes an interstate system. And not only is it a well-traveled road with streetlights and sidewalks, but there's a Carl's Jr. You can get dinner if you want. The point is this. The more we think a thought, the easier it becomes to go back to that negative thinking pattern. Science is teaching us now, though, that we can change. This is called neuroplasticity. We can change our thought life, but we have to do the hard work of breaking down these thought patterns and moving towards healthier ways of thinking. We have to create new pathways and focus on the right thoughts, positive thoughts. Either way, we don't have to be subject to our broken soundtracks. And so once we define what it is, then we can ask ourselves three questions that God can use to demolish the negative soundtracks in our mind. And the first is it true? Is it true? Author John Acuff writes, "One of the greatest mistakes you can make is to assume that all of your thoughts are true." And sometimes a thought pops into our mind and we run with it like it is gospel truth. But we can think and feel something or think and feel something very, very strongly, and it can still be incorrect. And so we have to evaluate our thoughts and ask ourselves, is it true? Philippians 4:8 again, but this time in the NIV. "Finally, brothers and sisters, whatever is true, whatever is noble, whatever is right, whatever is pure, whatever is lovely, whatever is admirable, if anything is excellent or praiseworthy, think about such things." Whatever we think is true needs to be cross-examined by the truth, the Word of God. And if we make our thoughts the standard of our lives, we're going to crash and burn. We must have something outside of ourselves that's above us that we can bounce our thoughts off of. And no, Google's not going to cut it. Because God's word is the truth in our lives. Back to 2 Corinthians 10:5, "We demolish arguments and every pretension that sets itself up against the knowledge of God. And we take captive every thought to make it obedient to Christ." Take captive, another military term. And in the historical context, when this was written, it would have meant to take hostage an enemy using a spear or a sword. Well, as followers of Jesus, what do we learn that our sword is? Well, we find it in Ephesians 6 among the armor of God, right? The helmet of salvation, the breastplate of righteousness, the belt of truth, the shoes of peace, the shield of faith, and the sword of the Spirit, which is the word of God. The only way to combat these negative thoughts in our mind with any meaning is to take the sword of the Spirit, the Word of God, and compare our thoughts to it. That is our weapon for determining if it is true. Is this thought lining up with what Scripture says? Jesus said in John 8, "If you hold to my teaching, you are really my disciples. Then you will know the truth, and the truth will set you free." This is why we spend time with the Lord every morning and the Word every day, because we have to make the Bible the soundtrack of our minds. Because if we don't have the right soundtrack, we will misinterpret the script. Remember the movie Titanic, where Jack is like, he's fallen in love with this upper-class woman named Rose who is way out of his league. But so he tries to woo her, and it works for some reason. And so he takes her to the front of the ship, you know, and that iconic scene where she's got her arms spread. She's like, "I'm queen of the world." I don't have to act it out. We can just watch it. Let's just play that.
"Do you trust me?"
"I trust you."
So the soundtrack in this moment tells us that it's a romantic moment, right? But if we're to change the soundtrack just a little bit, just change it around, let's see what happens.
"Trust me."
"I trust you."
It's so dark. It's so dark and ominous all of a sudden. You get the feeling that Jack might throw her off that boat. But you see how fast the script changes based on the soundtrack. And if you put a different soundtrack over the same life, everything changes. And if we put a negative soundtrack, a negative thought, negative thinking over the great life that God has scripted for us, all of a sudden it changes into something it was never meant to be. Jeremiah 29:11 says, "For I know the plans I have for you, declares the Lord. Plans to prosper you and not to harm you. Plans to give you a hope and a future." God knows the plans he has for us are good. He wrote the script, but if we play a negative soundtrack over his script, we could shipwreck our lives. Some of us are walking around every single day, and God is saying, here's the script, here's the plan and your purpose, but we've got a negative soundtrack playing over it, so we mess it up. I mean, what if every single time you saw your spouse walk into a room, the Jaws theme song started playing, right? Like, your wife walks in, and all of a sudden you're cleaning a dish, the sink's empty, but you found one to clean anyway. It's like, da-na, da-na, da-na. We might need to change the soundtrack a little bit, right? It might need to go from Jaws to, can you feel the love tonight, right? And you're wearing sunglasses and a turtleneck for some reason. I don't know, but we do need to change our soundtrack from time to time. And so we ask ourselves, is this thought true? And the second question we have to ask is it helpful? Is this thought I'm having right now, is it moving me forward? Is it causing me to take action? Is it causing me to be apathetic? Is it actually helpful? Because we tell ourselves all kinds of thoughts that are not helpful, right? I'm dumb. I can't do anything right. I'm bad at that. It's my fault. I will never. And we have all these thoughts, but are they helpful? And if you need help trying to figure out if a thought is helpful, I want you to do this exercise. Come up with that thought that you repeat to yourself over and over again and tell it to your best friend as if it's about them. Would they still want to be your friend after you do that? That's a good way to measure if something is helpful or not. And so we ask, is it true? Is it helpful? And our final question is it kind? Is this thought I'm having kind to others, to myself? To be honest, if someone talked to my family or my friends the way I talk to myself sometimes, I'd punch them in the face. You know, I'm just a work in progress like everybody else. I'm just being honest with you. But Galatians 5 tells us the kinds of fruit that we should have coming forth from our lives the closer we get to Jesus, and their love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, and self-control. And so if your thoughts aren't kind, they're likely not from God. And that's because Satan's love language is shame. And he will do or say anything to get us to believe those negative thoughts, those lies, and in turn keep us from living the life God has promised us. John 10:10 says the thief comes to steal, kill, and destroy, but Jesus said that he came to give us life and life abundant. And so we need to remove these negative soundtracks. We can't believe these lies if we're going to live out our purpose and our calling that God has for each and every one of us. So we have to define that negative, consistent soundtrack because we can't defeat what we won't define. And we have to ask, is it true? Is it kind? Is it helpful? Because we can't live that blessed life, that abundant life that God has for us with a broken soundtrack in our mind. And so my soundtrack, I'm not enough, right? I'm not enough. I'm not good enough. I'm not a good enough husband, father, pastor, whatever it may be. I'm not enough. And there is some truth to that. I'm not enough. But the good news is, I don't have to be. I have a divine power that lives inside of me that can demolish all the strongholds, and the power that lives in me can do everything I need to do through me, in spite of me. Everything that God wants me to do, that Jesus Christ inside of me makes me enough. Romans 8:11 says, the Spirit of God who raised Jesus from the dead lives in you. And so my soundtrack is, I'm not enough. But the truth is this, 2 Peter 1:3, his divine power has given us everything we need for a godly life through our knowledge of him who called us by his own glory and goodness. Church, with Christ, we are enough. We are loved, we are capable, and we are chosen. And his heart is for us not to buy into the lies of the enemy, but to hear the truth of God in every single thought. And so what we did to help with this problem in all of our lives is we made a couple slides, and we're going to put them up now. There's two of them, and they're going to rotate through, and on these slides, they have soundtracks. And so I'm not enough, and then it has the scripture, the truth that goes with it. Or I'm never going to get over this anxiety or this depression, but the truth is the joy of the Lord is my strength. That's found in Nehemiah, right? I'm unlovable. Can anything ever separate us from Christ's love? Spoiler alert, no, it can't, right? There is truth to behold against the lies in our mind. And so I want you to watch these and look for yours as they cycle through. And if you see it, I want you to get out your phone in church, take a picture of it, and I want you to add that verse to your daily quiet time. Add it to your time with the Lord and pray that over yourself. Pray that truth into your life. Declare it over yourself because the enemy is out to get us. The world is out to destroy anything that represents Jesus in our lives. And we need the truth of God to stand firm on. We need the truth to be the loudest voice in our life so that we can walk through bringing as many people to him as we can. And so these are gonna cycle through here for a little bit, and I'm going to pray for you. And then as we go, take a moment. And if you don't see yours up there, I want you to take a thought audit. Think about it. What is that negative thought? And then I recommend using the YouVersion Bible app, right? You can type in the search bar what you're feeling, and it will bring up all kinds of scriptures that have to do with this. We do not have to be slave to these negative thoughts. So let me pray for your church. God, we love you so much, and we thank you for the truth of your word. We thank you that you have given us the divine power to destroy the strongholds in our mind. God, I pray for a spirit of truth to wash over us, God, and we ask for a sound mind. God, a spirit of sound mind and power and love, God, that we would be tucked into you, hearing the truth of your word, and that you would speak to us every single day. And in Jesus' name, we defy the enemy, and we rebuke you and your negative thoughts and your lies to us in the powerful name of Jesus, and we declare the truth over them. And God, we ask that you would be the first voice we hear every day. Before our feet hit the floor, God, would you speak to us about who we are and how much you love us? God, we love you so much, and it's in Jesus' name that we pray. Amen. We love you, church. We'll see you next week.
Thanks for listening to this week's message at Fellowship Church. If you've not made Jesus Christ your Lord and Savior, I want to give you the opportunity to do that right now. The Bible says in the book of Romans, if you declare with your mouth that Jesus is Lord and believe in your heart that God raised him from the dead, you will be saved. And you can do that right now. I just want to encourage you to pray this prayer with me. Dear Jesus, I'm a sinner and I need forgiveness. Please forgive me of my sins. I believe that you are Lord, that you died on the cross for my sins, and that you rose again. And God, I thank you for that. I ask you now to be my Savior, to guide my life, and to give me a home forever in heaven. And God, I ask you this in your precious Son, Jesus' name, amen. If you just prayed this prayer for the first time, we would love to celebrate with you. Please text the word heaven to 94,000 to get in contact with our staff where we can answer any questions that you might have. And also, if you're in need of prayer, we'd love to support you. You can submit your prayer requests by texting prayer support to 94,000. Our prayer team will receive your request and immediately start covering you. If this was your first time experiencing Fellowship Church, or if you want to learn more about one of our many ministries here, text the word fellowship to 94,000 to connect with our staff today. And as always, we are still just a phone call away. You can contact us at 970-245-PRAY with any questions. And thanks again. We hope to see you next week in person or online.